Ryan?
Yeah.
I'm Jim. Brother I'm James. How can I help you?
Oh, I was just noticing outside. You said Greg Roots Exposed.
Oh, my stick. I don't want anybody to trip. Yes, sir. Hebrew Roots Exposed. Do you know what Hebrew Roots is?
I've had a little bit of a deal.
You're not part of Hebrew Roots today?
No.
Okay.
I know that there's a lot of Torah observant, and I was wondering if, like, especially around this area, there's a lot of Torah observant.
You're not Torah observant today? My wife, Debbie.
Nice.
Yeah. So you're not Torah observant today? I like to know who I'm.
No, I have a lot of friends who are.
Because it's Saturday Sabbath and you're out kind of doing stuff, so I'm assuming that you don't keep the Saturday Sabbath.
No, because my viewpoint is, in the New Testament, we're told one keeps a one to God, let it keep them all alive.
Amen. Brother Apostle Paul.
Uh-huh. And every day we should people who say, oh yeah, we have to have a specific day to observe. Well, it's supposed to be set apart to God. Well, we're a set apart people.
So amen.
Shouldn't every day be set apart?
Amen. We're holy, set apart.
But also,
can I go one step deeper?
Sure.
Did you come out of the evangelical world, or were you raised in evangelical or
yes.
Baptist? Okay, so were we. Well, my wife was, not so much me. I was a pagan, but I did go to church for a while. They have totally convoluted the whole thing with their Christmas, their Easter, their Good Friday. They all teach that Jesus resurrected on Sunday, and it's absolutely not true, and even the Hebrew people will agree with me on this. Jesus resurrects on Saturday. He goes in the grave on Wednesday night. He's in the grave 3 days, three nights. And I teach the evangelicals this, and they all look and go, I said, how can you get 3 days from Friday night to Sunday morning? And they go, I said, you're practicing Roman Catholic paganism.
Right.
And Jesus said to reject lies, hate every false way. But let me go one step deeper. You're right. Every day, the Jews can keep Sabbath that they want as long as it's not for salvation or demanding it of others. You can gather on a Tuesday, Wednesday. But here's the key I think that we really need to focus on. Hebrews 4, Jesus is our Sabbath rest. That goes even further than, yeah, I agree with you. Every day. It's like, are you married?
Yes.
Okay. So. Oh, okay.
Some of my children.
Yep. And so every day you're a husband. Not one special day.
Right.
You're a faithful husband every day.
Right.
And I try to be that too. And so you're very right that not every day or every day is, but go deeper. And when people come up to me and they say, do you keep Sabbath? And I go, absolutely. And they go, the Hebrews people, they go, oh, Saturday Sabbath. And I said, no. And then they go, what do you mean? And I said, who is the Sabbath? Who's the Lord of the Sabbath? Was the Sabbath made for man or man for the Sabbath? And then all of a sudden they start. So what you'll find, I don't know what your question is, but let me share something with you. What you'll find, the reason we're here, I'm a traveling street preacher, and I have a large website here. I want to give you a gospel card. We have two different gospel cards. We have a gospel card for Anabaptist folks. We're not Anabaptists. So we're headed right now to go to an Anabaptist place and preach the gospel.
I would like to see that one, because I have
sure.
I used to be Mennonite.
She used to be Holderman Mennonite, and I spent 9 years,
okay.
9 months with...
So our track is pretty much the same, but the Anabaptist track reminds them that there's two kingdoms, because they like to talk about the kingdom, and we remind them that the Anabaptist faith is not the kingdom of God. They're keeping so many false man-made traditions. But going back to the Hebrew roots, one of the things I find with Hebrew roots is they focus on Saturday Sabbath, tassels that I don't have,
right.
Not a Hebrew root, don't eat pork, and festivals, having parties, and there's even, I was just exposed, I didn't just expose them, I did it years ago. There's a guy locally, you know, there's a lot of Hebrew guys around here.
Yeah.
And there's some famous ones, like Zach Bauer, that new to Torah, oh good, you don't know about him. He teaches you can get drunk at the festivals, and it's fine. Yeah. So, and they focus on like four things. And then whenever I see them with a tassel, I always say, why are you wearing tassels? And they go, well, the Father commanded it. And I said, where was that? And they said, in Deuteronomy. And I said, oh. I said, didn't he also command that you hang it between your eyeballs as frontlets? I said, I've never seen a Hebrew guy walk around with it hanging between his eyes as a frontlet. You know what a frontlet is?
Oh, yeah.
A phylactery.
Right.
They don't do that. See, they pick and choose all the easy, cool, gitchy stuff.
Right.
Here's the key. They're not Torah keepers. You know what they are? Torah dabblers.
Dabblers?
They're dabblers. I call them dabblers. And they don't like that. And the last guy I just witnessed yesterday, and you can go on my website, I got a lot of audios and stuff on this. The last guy I just witnessed to yesterday, I said, why aren't you stoning homosexual sodomites? I call them sodomites. I don't hate, but I use a biblical term. I don't like the word gay. And I call them what they are. The Bible says sodomites. You know what he said to me? We should be. And I looked at him and I said,
What?
So this man thinks, in the eyes of God, he's much better than a sodomite. Oh, sodomy and homosexuality is a sin, but we no longer stone people in the New Testament. What we do is call them to repentance, ask them to turn, and as long as they have breath in their lungs, they have a chance at salvation.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, homosexuality is sinful. And they always say to me, well, no, Torah. And I said, really? Brother Paul, Apostle Paul, was he Torah compliant? Absolutely. Yes, he was, 100%. I said, that's a lie. Two main things. One, in the New Testament, he says, for 13 years, I didn't go to Jerusalem. I said, what did every Hebrew command from God to do?
Three times a year, you have to go to Jerusalem.
Paul didn't do that anymore. What was Paul doing? Out hunting and fishing?
No.
He's preaching the gospel for the New Testament body. And I said, how about false teachers? I said, did Paul tell us to stone false teachers in the New Testament? No. What had changed? Grace had come. There's a chance for them to repent and turn. Paul says, mark them and avoid them.
Right.
So just some instances of where, I don't know where you are on that, but that gives you some delineation between what they're doing. And this place right here, are you familiar with this?
Yeah.
Okay. This man here, I don't know much about him. I'm going to have a testing up on his website. But we showed up yesterday at the coffee shop. They were closing. Didn't get a chance to talk to anybody. I already know I don't like his theology per God's word because he's a Hebrew root guy. But right on his thing,
Says something.
Bob is his name.
Tom,
right?
Martin.
Or Tom, yeah. Tom Martin. I got his information. Right on his brochure, it says, well, you might notice we do this and we do that. And he says, but we don't. I don't know the exact words. We don't teach it or we don't enforce it. Everybody just kind of has to find and do their own way and find it. Jesus said, preach the gospel, make disciples, teaching them to obey everything God commanded. There's not an option. So if you're in the New Testament and you believe drunkenness is sinful, you don't allow people in your body to get drunk. If they go, well, I think I can still get drunk, you don't go, well, that's okay, you haven't come to that yet. You put them out of the body. They're leavened. They're going to affect your children. And so I already see from him, they're very ecumenical. They're very open-minded about theology. And that's how you get numbers, and that's how you get people. But if you'll notice, how many did Jesus say would enter in the kingdom of God?
Very few.
And they always look to build more and include everybody. And it's the opposite. Churchianity, and I call them that, churchianity in America always looks to include everyone. Do you know what biblical, New Testament, ecclesia called out, body, you know what it always looks to do? It excludes. Until you repent and you're born again, then you come in. The front door is closed.
Well, I would challenge you on that. I would say it invites and seeks to refine.
It excludes everybody that's of the world and won't repent of their sin. You're not welcome in. The call is to repent. I just preached the gospel. Let me preach it to you. The shed blood of Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. The only way. We can't get there without that. He shed his blood for the forgiveness of sins if we'll repent. He died to defeat death. He came to show us who God was. Fully man, fully God. Most evangelicals stop there. You know, I just believe in Jesus. No, the Bible says repent. Repent as you change your mind. We used to be worldly drunks. We didn't come out of Anabaptists or anything. Repent and change your mind. Then when you change your mind, you change your ways. The day you got married, you were committed. You didn't keep doing what you were doing before.
Right.
If you did, you're a hypocrite and a liar. So when you change your mind, you change your ways. Repent. Put your faith in Christ. Repent. Then the Bible says you must be born again. They don't teach any of this. You must be born again by the Spirit of God. You must cry out to God. When he sees a willing vessel, he gives you a new heart and a new mind. I used to be a worldly, drunken fighter. I could care less about people. God gave me a new heart and new mind. Now I retired early. I fund myself. We don't take anyone's money. We travel the nation to preach the gospel. We have a small homestead in Missouri. We wouldn't be standing here talking to you if I sat on the porch and went fishing all the time. We travel, we go, and we lift up Christ. Faith, repentance, be born again. The fruit you're born again, test yourself, is not that you had some religious experience, not that you go to church. The Spirit matches the Word. And so the Holy Spirit takes you to the Word of God, helps you discern, helps you come out of evangelical Baptists, helps you come out of the Roman Catholics, helps you come out of Hebrew roots, and be a called out, you said it, holy, right, ecclesia, set apart, spotless bride.
Right.
And the last part of the gospel is, like a marriage, you must endure. You can mess it all up tomorrow, so can I. We have to endure every day. You don't have salvation guaranteed today. You have the hope of it if you're following Christ in obedience. But one of the key things I teach people is if you live in any willful sin, sin you know is sin that you keep doing, It's not covered by the blood of Christ.
Okay.
You must become eligible for the grace of God. And how do you become eligible? The grace is there. It flows. It's free. It's available. How do you become eligible? By turning from it, forsaking it. So if you're married and your wife, let's say terrible, had an affair and had a boyfriend, and she came back to you and said, "Please forgive me," and you're thinking about forgiving her, what's the first thing you're going to ask her to do? Get rid of the boyfriend. What if she says, "Well, I want to go back to him a couple times a year. I probably will." Is that true repentance? She's not eligible for your grace then to forgive her and bring her into. See how that works? Grace doesn't just magically flow, that God just covers you in the blood. It's not how it works. It's a covenant relationship. Covenant. God always had a covenant. He had one with Noah, Abraham. He had one with Adam and Eve. He had one with Israel. And a covenant is like a marriage. It's an agreement of two parties. As soon as one of you destroys the covenant by doing something wrong, the covenant is broken. So we're not in a relationship with Jesus. I hate that theology. We're in a covenant, a blood covenant. Matthew 26. He shed his blood. You, if you claim to be born of him, walk in his word and his ways, coming out of the world, coming out of man-made religion. And Jesus promised you will lose most of your friends, most of your family. You will lose your life. I had to lose my career. We lost all of our family and friends because people either want to be worldly or false religious people. They don't want to seek after Christ with all that they are. So I like to preach that gospel to people because it really calls out the two kingdoms. The kingdom of God that you can enter through Christ. You're all born in the kingdom of Satan. So are we. The kingdom of Satan is this culture. 2 Corinthians 4:4. You have to rebel like he did against God. You have to rebel against Satan and leave his culture that's here pulling you in. Sports, movies, politics, entertainment, false religion. You have to rebel against it and repent and run back to the Father and then get your life in line with his standard. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we actually have kids waiting for us to help.
Yep.
So,
I encourage you, go to my website if you're interested, don'tperish.com. Go to the teaching blog. We have tons of articles. I got tons and tons of articles. My wife has a sister's blog where she teaches ladies on the women's issues. And my email, my phone number's on there. If you read anything that is out of line with God's word and you disagree, call me. Let's go over it. If you'd like biblical fellowship to study and really have biblical fellowship, I'm available for that. What I don't do, they're Torah dabblers. I'm not a relationship dabbler. I either encourage people to come, follow Christ, strip your life down, follow him, or the website's there 24/7. Because what I find is most people, like they're Torah dabblers, most people are Christ dabblers. It's like being married but not being serious about it. You're in big trouble.
Right.
You know, you gotta be serious about it, right?
Right?
And no matter what you set your mind to, as Jesus said, no man starts building a tower that doesn't go, "Can I finish this thing?" You ever see a house half finished? Sits there for 3 years and you go, "What happened? The guy died? Didn't he plan right?" It looks foolish, doesn't it? So whatever people set their mind to in the faith system, they need to make sure they're going to follow it with all they are, seek the kingdom with all they are, and not dabble, not still be part of the world, not let their flesh get in the way. So the flesh and the world is going to always try to pull you back. You must fight and leave that system and then not just float through life. God has a ministry for you, whatever it is. It might not be mine, street preaching, whatever. God has a ministry for you, and God calls you to get your house in full order, get your life in full order, then you can live out that ministry to glorify him. But most people are just drifting through life.
How long are y'all in Ava?
Not long.
Y'all gonna be here tomorrow?
I'm not sure. Why, ma'am?
Well, I have a 15-year-old daughter that is confused on some of these things because we've kind of gone everywhere.
Well, yes, I'm glad you said that. I'm glad you said that, gone everywhere. I want to encourage people, get out of everywhere. Get in the Word of God.
Right.
Throw it out. If you're on YouTube, and I'm on the internet, but what I tell, I'm on YouTube, I don't put stuff on YouTube anymore. It's a swill place. But when people find me on YouTube, you know what's the first thing I tell them? Get out of YouTube. It's a billboard in a bad neighborhood. Get out of YouTube, get out of Facebook, get off the internet. It's full of 99.999% false teachers. And what I encourage people to do is ask God to show you the truth in the Word of God. And just rely on the scriptures. Now, if you run into somebody, you ran into me, and you go, "Maybe that's God appointed. Test my gospel. Test my life. Do you see sin in me? Is my house in order? What am I preaching?" And you go, "I'm testing these people to the Word of God. They may be true Christians." Now you start to communicate. And the only people you should invest any time with, the only man you should invest any time with on the internet is somebody you can contact, you can talk to, you can text, you can test. He'll give you time. If some guy just has a website and wants your money and clicks on the internet, throw him out. He doesn't care about you.
Right.
Make yourself available to true godly men.
Okay.
And that would be my encouragement to you. So to answer your question, you can go look at my stuff, read your stuff, read my stuff, test me. If you'd like to open conversation, I'd love to, through her dad, I'd love to help your daughter with whatever issues and I can help you. We always like to go through the head.
Yeah.
We always like to go through the head, so I want her, your daughter, to see you're the head, and if I can fill you with information that you can then flow down to her, or if we need to all gather and, you know, we can, you and I can talk together. But we're more than happy to do that. But that's my, that's one of the biggest problems in America, because of the internet. That's why we're in the last days. Right. The internet sprang up and put false teachers everywhere. They used to have to knock on your door to get in your house. Now, your son has an iPhone. They're right there. And their swill is all over. Rip it out, pluck it out. We're on the internet, but it's pure, true. We don't use it for anything else. We don't follow the teachers there. We don't read men's books. The only counsel I will take from another man is a man that I look at his life, his gospel, his house, and go, he's on the path. He could speak to me. Yeah. If he's worldly, he's carnal, he's doing Christmas and Easter, if he's complacent, if he's not striving, he's leaven. I won't let him in my life. I'll help him, but I won't take counsel from him. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's my admonition. So if I could help you through you, I would love to. You got our information. Go to the teaching blog. That's where most of everything resides. Again, my wife has a sister's blog where she helps ladies. I have tons of street preaching videos if you're interested in seeing how I preach and what I preach. And test me to the word. And if we could study and end up united, that would be great.
All right.
What was your name again?
Brian.
Brian? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, I'm James, and this is my wife, Debbie. And you were?
Jerry.
And?
Nick.
Nick?
All right.
Let me know if I could ever help you.
All right.
Thanks for coming over.
Yep.
Good timing. We were just rolling.
All right.
All right, nice meeting you. God be praised. We love you.